CataractCoach.com podcast series, episode number 111 with Dr. Miguel Recchici. The drive to learn on your own and keep progressing. An amazing cataract surgeon who's now learning retina surgery. Welcome back to our Cataract Coach podcast. And today I have a very special guest, a man who I enjoyed spending time with recently at the Italian cataract practice meeting. And that is my good friend, Dr. Miguel Recchici from Italy. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's really an honor to be here with you. And you know, you was one of my best online teacher during my residency. And now for me, it's really an honor to have here in Cataract Coach. I'm very, very proud of this. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, tell us, what is surgical training like in Italy? Because it's different in Italy compared to like USA. So for ophthalmology, yes. What's the process like to learn surgery?
At my time, 20 years ago, it was not so easy to access to surgery, especially cataract surgery during residency. So most of the training was clinical and not too many exposure to surgical activity. That's the reason why, honestly, I'm not son of any ophthalmologist. My father is an anesthesiologist. And once I decided that I want to be a very good cataract surgeon, I decided to go in my summer vacation out in India to learn cataract surgery. And I did it since for my first year of residency. I spent all my vacancies outside, especially in India. And here I know a lot of very good surgeons like Agarwal Group, and many other Indian surgeon that teach me everything and teach me to be very, very efficient. Yeah, and honestly, I have to thank the India country for have trained me very, very quick and very, very strength surgeon. So I'm very, very happy. And the good thing is that when I developed all the things about cross-link, you know, because I'm known in the world as one of the inventor of a modern accelerated cross-linking, I come back to India to teach them about this. And so we have this great scientific exchange. And I'm very proud that now in July, I will be in the Agarwal Eye Hospital to receive a gold medal from Professor Amar Agarwal, and Jacob Ashwin and all the other family.
I will see you there in July. I'll be there as well.
We'll be there.
Let me go back a little bit. So in the USA, for ophthalmology residency, in the USA, it's 4 years. And during the 4 years, every resident will get maybe about 200 cataracts, phacos. That's not the case in Italy then, correct?
If you're lucky, at least in my time, if you do 10 cataract surgery was enough. Man. So most of the at my time, probably now it's different because they teach more the surgery. But at my time it was very difficult, honestly. That's the reason why most of the Italian gold side, some of ophthalmologists went in India, other choose other country like UK, England, in which the system is very similar to US. So you need to have at least 500 cases for cataract to complete the residency. So it's very difficult, but I am proud because honestly, I really spend every day out for vacation for learning surgery, but now I'm very happy because I really gained all my surgery skills by myself. So this is the reason why I'm very proud.
And yeah, now, the Indian surgeons are amazing. I mean, India has a huge volume of surgery, more than any other country I can even think of, especially for ophthalmology. And as a result, I mean, they are the world's professors. I learned so much from going and learning from Indian colleagues too.
I really teach they really teach me the efficiency. Now, if you look at my surgical type table, I just have three pieces: a
Right.
chopper, a cannula, and a capsular access. This is my table. And honestly, the Indian school is very, very important. I think every surgeon has to have one experience, because, you know, in a very organized system like yours, no, in the US, no, you have technician for everything, no. Sometimes when the phaco machine blocks, some people who work in a very well organized cannot do nothing. I learned how to repair also phaco machine, so I have no problem. No, in my
important
of myself.
Well, that's very important. So as a surgeon, you must be the captain of the ship. And so if you're the surgeon and you don't have someone to help you set up the phaco machine, you have to set it up yourself. You have to be responsible. If you're operating and the phaco machine gives an error and it stops working, you have to know how to fix that.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. Before, to be a very good surgeon, you have to be a very good nurse. You have to be a very good technician. You have to start from the bottom, and then you will reach the top level, because you know all the problems. So you can teach also the people around you to solve the problem. And this is what I do now with my surgical team. So they know everything, also with the excimer laser. I do not have technician for excimer laser. I'm my technician, the right. technician of myself. This was my passion, because, you know, I am a cataract surgeon, but before this, I was a very I started with the refractive surgery, you know. So I work with a lot of companies like Schwind and now like Avidro, now Glaukos. And then I developed this technology. So before to become a very good cataract surgeon, I learned all of this. And I still start to continue to be the technician of myself and also teach other doctors about this.
Right. It's so important to learn that. I mean, another good example is sometimes a young resident will just copy the phaco settings from another surgeon.
Yes.
But you should actually think about it, understand what it is, and choose your own settings. If you're going to drive my car, don't use my seat and my mirror settings. Set your own.
Yeah. But for this, cataract coach really opened not only my mind, but the minds of thousands of surgeons, because you are so focused also on how to set up the machine. Right. And that is very important, because everyone has his style. Cataract surgery is a style. Mm-hmm. You have a style, I have my style, so my parameters are completely different from yours. But we can reach all the both the beautiful result, but with different parameters at everyone. And cataract surgery is beautiful, because you can see a lot of very good surgeons, but with completely different techniques of doing cataracts.
Right.
And Cataract Touch for this is the best show in the world. And now that you also launched the Retina Rounds,
of course,
now I'm transitioning to vitreoretinal surgery, because to me is the way of complete my surgical skills. And now Retina Rounds is my new cataract coach.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, Retina Rounds, we launched on March 1. It's growing very fast, already about 5,000 subscribers. And it also is a new video every day. Now, to be clear, I actually do not perform retina surgery. So I have a colleague of mine who was 20 years ago one of my residents, who is just a fantastic surgeon. That's Dr. Pradeep Prasad. Yeah. And he's doing those videos. And he is a full-time only vitreoretinal surgeon. But I think there's so much to learn. When I watch videos, and remember, on Cataract Coach, people send me, like you did, I get 50 videos a week. And I watch all of them, which is a lot of work. But I learn so much. I learn every day.
You change the way how the people train, because 20 years ago you have to go always to a congress, I tell you, one of my idol was Bob Osher, you know?
All the best. I talked to Bob Osher on the phone last night.
Yes. I went every year to Academy, but we have to go there to see the complication because Bobby, like you, is a very humile surgeon. He always show the complication. And you learn more from complication, not watching a beautiful surgery. But now you can just go on YouTube, go on Cataract Coach, go on Rate Rounds, and you can find everything. I have a complication. You can see how you manage, how Bob manage it, how many other surgeons around the world manage it. So it's a way to grow in a very fast way.
Yeah, I think you're right. The ability to have video. Now, the godfather of cataract surgery videos is for sure Bob Osher. That's the godfather. Like I told you, I spoke with him for half an hour last night. He's to me a very good mentor, and I learned so much from him. But he originated the idea that you can learn from watching videos.
Absolutely,
And you know, I think
absolutely.
it shortens the learning curve. When I was in Italy, I had a lot of fun in Trieste with the young ophthalmologists, the ones who are still in their residency. These guys are so hardworking, so enthusiastic, and they learn fast. I think they can learn in 1 year what took me 10 years to learn. They can
Absolutely.
see all the complications.
Absolutely, because they can see a lot of the complication in a so short time that at your time, but also in my time that YouTube was starting to grow, you have to spend 10 years to see the same cases. And that it's older. What can you cannot teach is the sensibility, the is the sensation around the regulation of a incision, the feeling of the eye. We cannot teach by video. You have to do it in surgery. But the techniques and the situation, yeah, a lot of fun in a very quick way. This is the really the magic of a cataract coach. And another good things of learning now is also the 3D. The 3D also sharing on YouTube is another way, because what the difficulty of a surgeon in the very first surgeries is to realize the plane, because when you're working with a very high magnification, you lose the depth of field. Now with the 3D, you can have also the feeling of depth, simply watching a video, and this is beautiful for the surgeon in the first phases of their training, because they learn much more faster before 10 years ago. The angulation, the spaces within the eye is beautiful. It's beautiful.
Because if you think about it, how small is the space where we are working? Right? The anterior chamber is 250 microliters.
Yes.
Maybe with posterior chamber, and maybe it's 300, 400 microliters. That's like in your palm of your hand, putting in like 8 drops of water, and you have to operate inside this. For
Yes.
beginning surgeons, I think it's very helpful. If you're a beginning surgeon, my friend Neto Rossatelli from Brazil has beautiful 3D videos on YouTube, but you'll need to use a
Yes.
3D headset. But I think once you've done a few hundred cases and you understand how to work in the eye, then most of my people who watch Cataract Coach Reynolds, they're all doing it from a mobile phone. So they're not watching it in 3D. But at the
Yes.
beginning, for sure, 3D is great.
Yeah. Also, 3D will be is actually that the present will be the future. But as I always tell also to the people who teach or is you have to start with the simple things. You have to start with 2D. You have to start with all manual surgery. You know, I'm a very good also femto cataract surgeon. But I like it until a point, but you have to learn without any laser. You have to manage all your complication without tricks, and then you can start use other technology. But you have to be a very good surgeon with the basic skills and with the basic settings.
Right. That's an important point, is that don't let new technology let you forget your hand skills.
Yeah.
Yes, a femto is great for making a capsulotomy, but you should be able to make a beautiful one with your forceps in your hands.
Yes. And, you know, now, honestly, I'm using a femtosecond not for helping me too much in capsulotomy or fragmentation, but honestly, what is very good now for the new software is that they can recognize also the cycle torsion, and they put, for example, incision in the cornea for guiding the toric IOLs, or they do automatic arcuate incision. And honestly, now this is an advantage. For example, if I have astigmatism less than 1.5 diopter, now I'm not putting a toric IOLs, and if the patient choose the femto, I do the automatic arcuate incision. And this is another way to use femtosecond laser for other things. But I think is a good capsulotomer. Femtosecond is good for capsulotomy, but what is more satisfactory than a beautiful round Rexy doing by your hands?
But you can do it with your own hand. Don't worry.
Sometimes I joke with my nurse. I do one cataract with femto and other cataract with manual. And so, this is my good femto hands.
You're right. That's right. I did the same thing. But it's interesting for me. My cutoff point is one diopter. If you have one diopter or close to it or more of corneal astigmatism, I prefer to do a toric lens. And then for 0.75 or less, I do some sort of incisional treatment like LRI or laser treatment.
Look, every surgeon has also his settings, no? Sometimes the things about the phantom, sometimes the patient asks for him.
Right.
The word laser in the mind of patients open a magician world, no? A magic world. And as a private surgeon, I'm a private surgeon.
Right.
You cannot say that you cannot offer this kind of surgery. So I say to the patient, honestly, okay, femtosecond is very good. Is for sure is a precise. Is not the only way to do cataract surgery, but if you want, if you prefer, and if you feel more safe, more if you have more satisfaction, I will do with the femto laser. But honestly, for a good cataract surgeon, femto actually is not. It's not worth, probably because you charge a lot, is more money for sure. It costs a lot, but probably it's not the future of a cataract surgery. Honestly, the 3D impacted really the cataract surgery world. Honestly, the Phaco machine have a very, very, very good improvement in the last 5 years. Yeah. And the impact was not so good as femtosecond laser, no? 10 years ago, femtosecond was revolutionary. But we now, my final consideration is very good capsulotomy, but is not the best way to do, is not the best things that we had in cataract in the last 10 years.
For sure. So this week, 2 days ago, I did surgery on a fellow ophthalmologist. So I asked her, she does cataract surgery for a living. It's her work. She needed cataract surgery. And I asked her, do you want me to do femto? She says, no, I want a beautiful Rexus by hand because she says it's stronger. A Rexus is stronger than the femto edge of a capsulotomy.
Yes.
And so she said, she says, make it perfect and give me a video. So I made her, there we go, a beautiful video. There we go.
Yes.
I put it up on my Instagram 2 days ago to just say, hey, look, okay, I gave her a copy of the video. She's very happy. But yeah, people who know, like an ophthalmologist knows, if it's in my eye, you're doing phaco, I don't need a femto. But I need you to do a beautiful surgery, and I do want a video of it.
Yes, absolutely.
But patients love the word laser. But you know, my favorite patient though is the patient who trusts me. Like when you go to a beautiful restaurant, fancy restaurant, top restaurant, don't tell the chef how to make the food. Let the chef just decide, just give me your best and just enjoy the dinner. Don't worry how the chef makes it. So similarly with patients, my favorite patients are the ones who say, doctor, give me your absolute best. Whatever your judgment is and you think is best, I'll listen to you. And then that's it. And I promise you, I'll give you my best.
We call it faith. The patient has to do faith in you. Honestly, the other things that really was not as they promised is the multifocal IOLs, no? Honestly, the market is always the same, no? So probably we have to have more technology because, for example, I'm a very good fan of EDOF IOL. Okay. A very good result. People in average are very happy, especially if you take a look at the pupil. But honestly, my number for trifocal IOLs really is not grew by the time. Because honestly, not all the patients are so satisfied.
You're right.
I appreciate you when you tell that probably, as a surgeon, probably I will have implanted the monofocal IOL in my eye because I'm a fan of the very good visual acuity for far.
Right. Honestly.
To me, it's not so bad to wear glasses for near. And honestly, also as a private surgeon, I do 50% of monofocal IOL implants, and I advise like this in most of the patients, especially in the older, where they do not that good retinal sensitivity.
I think the data has shown that to be true also. Even in the USA, which is a very premium IOL market, the vast majority of IOLs that are being implanted are monofocal. And most surgeons, I've done surgery for now 80 fellow ophthalmologists, 80. Zero have chosen a multifocal trifocal lens. 3 have chosen EDOF. 77 out of 80 have chosen monofocal. And a lot of them, it's like depending where you begin with. Like you, if you're a little hyperopic to begin with, you'll be so happy, monofocal lens and plano. But if it's like me, I'm -2. I love myopia. Remember, I'm older than you. I'm after the age of 50, when you're presbyopic, -2 is a blessing. This patient I did surgery on, this ophthalmologist, on Monday I did surgery on her. She chose a monofocal lens and a post-op goal of -150.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're a little myopes, monofocal all the way. But I have to tell you a secret. I did surgery on my wife.
Oh, fantastic.
Hyperopic plus 5.5. Was not so easy surgery. And I implanted an EDOF IOL, and she's pretty fine. But with the hyperop, you always win very easy.
Yes, for
sure. Always problem.
Let me ask you. So when you did her IOL, she's plus 5 to begin with. Did you aim for plano or you aim for just a little bit of hyper, plus a quarter, plus a
just
half?
A little bit of hyper?
Yes, I would have done the exact same thing. Yeah, I agree.
I completely agree. I heard it at your discussion during cataract coach. I completely agree with you. In hyperopic, as a brain trained to be hyperopic. Yes. It's a neural. You cannot force neural adaptation of people who always was hyperopic.
Right. If you're hyperopic your whole life, you have hyperopia on the brain. And you would much rather be plus a half. If you started with plus 5, she'll be much happier at plus a half, but she'll be upset at -0.5. Whereas I'm the opposite. I'm -2. Even my glasses are only 175. I don't want the full correction of my glasses even.
Absolutely. Completely agree. And this is what we have to tell to the new generation. Not to be forced by the market, but to be forced by own mind. Because, you know,
yeah, you got to think about it.
We have a very aggressive market, no? The market to try to convince you about that the IRL is always the best, is always a revolutionary. But in 20 years, we still implant most of monofocal IRL. There will be a reason for this.
So if some company comes today with a truly accommodating IOL that gives 100% light transmission and gives 4 adapters of accommodation, I'll use it for everyone. But unfortunately, today we have lenses, the multifocal, trifocal, all have some degree of compromise. And so unfortunately, because of that compromise, that's not an appropriate lens for every patient.
I have also another critique for companies.
Okay.
They do not put the quantity of a spherical aberration of each IOL. If you want to know the spherical aberration of IOL, you have to search on the internet on a very technical way. And as a refractive surgeon before the cataract surgeon, I choose the lens respect. If you have hyperopic laser, you have very different for a myopic laser. No, so
sure.
Because if you did -6 with the laser, you have a lot of positive spherical aberration. And if you put a lens that will not compensate this, okay, we will see 10-10, but the quality of vision will be very poor. So not a lot of cataract surgeons think about spherical aberration, especially in patients who was already operated by corneal laser surgery. And this is another information that probably the company have to show clearly on the label.
Right. But I'll tell you, you're totally correct. If you had a lot of myopic LASIK, especially with an older laser, that caused a lot of positive spherical aberration. Therefore, you want an IOL that has some negative spherical aberration. And then the opposite side, if you had a lot of plus or hyperopic LASIK with an older laser especially, and you end up now with a lot of negative spherical aberration cornea, now that's the case where you actually want a positive spherical aberration IOL to balance it out.
And you know that most of the lenses are -0.2 spherical aberration. So they're very good for myopic LASIK, but not for hyperopic.
Right.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster. As a refractive surgeon, and I always do also intraoperative aberrometry before and after. I do aberrometry before and after. And you will see a lot of a surprise, especially with the patient who did the LASIK surgery for hyperopia. So they can see 10-10, but the quality is very bad because they have a lot of toxic spherical aberration.
Right. Plus, the other part I just don't like about hyperopic LASIK is you end up with such small optical zones. As you know, when you do that donut-shaped ablation, it's okay initially, but then the epithelium grows in, you lose the effect. You have to kind of overcorrect in order to finally, a few months later, end up closer to target. So I'm, in general, not a huge fan of hyperopic LASIK.
As you know, my limit is not more than 3 diopter in hyperopic.
Yeah, I'm 2 diopter is my limit.
Yes, and honestly, the best way to correct hyperopia is after 45 cataract surgery.
Yeah.
Because you solve two problems. You have the best quality of vision, and you solve also the angle closure.
Right.
And honestly, also for myopic surgery, LASIK surgery, now, honestly, I offer intraocular lens, fake IOLs, for all the people up to -6. Because also there is a problem of quality. If you see the spherical aberration of a -6 with the laser and a -6 do with the fake IOL, it's a totally, completely another way, another quality.
Right. Oh, for sure.
This is another thing to stress, because most of the people, they just do LASIK, and so they do LASIK also for -8. That is not correct. You have to offer the best option. And if you can do the best option, please refer to the
That
survey.
That is for sure correct.
And this is a you have to be very honest with you and also with the patient.
No, for sure, absolutely correct. You know, it's crazy in the old days of LASIK. With this is the year 1997, 8, 9, year 2000, with these old first generation broad beam lasers, surgeons were doing myopic treatments of like minus 15. And you're thinking, yes. That's what you're thinking even, and such small optical zones. But I agree with you. In the modern day, you should at minus 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, you should be thinking more of phakic IOL and less of corneal ablation.
Absolutely. Now we have the technology to improve, and we have to know and to use it. And if we cannot do this, please refer. Sometimes the patients are more happy. Sometimes the patient will come back to you more happy because they recognize your humility, your honesty, especially sometimes when you refer to other doctors. We'll do the best for day. It's more rewarding a patient who was referred to another doctor just because you have not the right skills to do the best surgery for day. So I think these are another things that we have to also to teach to the future generation of surgeon. The collaboration is one of the great things of this world.
You're 100% right, for sure. As you would say, certo.
Certo.
Give me a good
your
example.
Italian was very good.
I know about five words. I know how to say. I love in Trieste. I loved the coffee was unbelievable. So every morning when I wake up, I start with two cappuccinos. So I learned how to say, "Signor, per favore, due cappuccini."
But you know, I will send you an Italian coffee machine because it's very different from American. Because they set in a different way the water, no? The water
of course.
Percentage. So I will send to you if you like Italian coffee. No,
I mean, I don't drink much coffee, but
I will make you happy.
Good, I have to enjoy it every day. But anyway, I'm going to go back to your point about knowing when to refer. So I used to do a lot of cases where I would do sutured lens to the sclera with Gore-Tex, Yamane fixation, Yamane or Yamane fixation on the IOL. But you know what I do now is I think those patients need a full pars plana vitrectomy. Yeah. So I send the patient now to my retinal colleague. Yeah. I tell him what IOL to put in the eye. Because I found out in these scleral fixate IOL, you really can't exactly predict the IOL calculations. So what I do is I give a little bit higher power to make sure the patient ends up a little myopic. So I send the patient to him. He does a full three-port pars plana vitrectomy. He sutures in the lens that I tell him. And then post-op, the patient ends up a little myopic, like minus one with minus one of astigmatism at some axis. Then 3 months later, I see the patient. I do the LASIK, and there's Plano. Perfect. Yeah. Patient's so happy.
Absolutely. Pars plana vitrectomy, especially for secondary implant, is a safe way, no? Because I'm transitioning now to the vitreoretinal surgeon, so now I can understand the importance of doing a very good vitrectomy, no? Amazing. In Italy, it's very famous, the Carlevale IOLs, no? You know? This is a scleral fixated lens. But doing a Carlevale without a very deep vitreoretinal surgery, and you will end up with a retinal detachment in 3 months. Because the lens move a lot in the middle vitreous. And if you're lucky that the vitreous is liquefied or detached from, no problem. But how many patients are like this? So every time you do a secondary implant, it's very good to do a very deep vitrectomy. And if you can do it, just send to the retina colleague.
Of course.
You will be safe. You will be safe. Then we'll fix the rest. So this is what I did since last 3 years. Then I started to do also vitreoretinal surgery, and I can manage by myself.
Oh,
But
great.
as anterior segment surgeon before, now I understand the importance of a vitreoretinal surgery. And now I'm very happy because I can manage most of the complication, my complication and complication of people who come into my clinic to do surgery, but was step by step. So
Right.
I started from the cornea and continued with the cataract surgery, and now I'm ending with a vitreoretinal surgery. It's my pattern, no? To learn. So I really get bored about things, so I want to learn things, doing the best. Then I get bored, I have to move
Learn more.
forward, and this is the path of my career in as a surgeon in ophthalmology.
Right. The ophthalmologists love to learn, and I think committing to lifelong learning is really important.
Yes, is a complete path, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful because you also do surgery with another mind when you are young, when you are old, and when you are more skilled. Now, for example, not the most feared complication for a beginning cataract surgery is the capsular rupture. No,
Right.
and now if I broke a capsule, okay, I can do something different now. So I'm quite happy. Not I'm quite happy because I do other things. No, but 10 years ago, when I break a capsule, to me was a start to fear, start to feel uncomfortable. Now I'm not happy, but at least I do something different. And this is
Tell me,
beautiful.
how are you learning? So you obviously in the last few years have been learning vitreoretinal surgery.
Yeah.
What's the process and how do you learn this?
From colleagues, no? I have my
Yes.
own clinic, so I start to see vitreoretinal surgeons, and then I start to share my case with them, and then I do step by step the surgery assisted by my beautiful colleagues. I'm lucky because I have a lot of very good vitreoretinal surgeons also here in Italy. And then, step by step, as a cataract surgery, I start to do the basic vitreoretinal surgeries like hemovitreos, not complicated. Then I start to do first peeling. I think peeling is one of the most sensitive skills to understand in retinal surgery. And then now I can do most of my basic vitreoretinal surgery by alone. If I have a very complex retinal detachment, I still refer. But for
Right.
example, to me, now is another safety to do cataract surgery without the fear if the some nucleus go back. Now I just suture the cornea, put the trocar, and finish the surgery. And now I understand also a very important things that I teach also to the residents who comes to me, that if you cannot do vitreoretinal surgery, at least complete a beautiful anterior surgery.
Right, for sure.
So please save a very good anterior axis, so it will be very easy to put a three-piece IOL into the sulcus. So that helps also the vitreoretinal surgeon to do his best vitreoretinal surgery, completing a very good anterior surgery. It's
Right.
very, very important. It's very important because sometimes when you broke the capsule, you start to have some panic, and you do a lot of errors, no? Like chasing the nucleus of the Fallot. That is there. It's typical, no? It's typical
Yes.
for the first season of nucleus drop. You think that you can
You get it.
chase with a. And here is the disaster. Let the nucleus go away.
Yes.
Close the surgery. Remove, if you can, the anterior vitreous. Preserve the anterior capsule. Close. Away. The next day or next 2 days, let's finish the work for a good vitreoretinal surgeon.
That is obviously the correct way, but I think you're correct. The young surgeons sometimes have the tendency to try to chase after the nucleus as it's falling,
yes.
And then you get into more trouble. The best answer is what you said: let it go, clean up the anterior segment, put a suture in the incision, refer it to your colleague, and the patient can have a beautiful outcome.
Absolutely, absolutely. The beautiful outcome you can have in a week.
Yeah.
Now we're pushing to have the best result the day after. It's not for complication. You have not to think like this. You have not to think. Sometimes also if the cornea is not so clear because there was a lot of edema, a lot of problem, just wait 1 week.
Right.
The nucleus is there, but with a good cornea, the vitreoretinal surgeon can do a very beautiful job. So let the cornea clear. We are anterior segment surgeon, so think about the cornea. Think about to let a very good anterior segment to your colleagues. That's it.
Right. I think the important thing is always putting the patient first. And as a surgeon,
Yes.
that's your job. Your duty is put the patient first. And you got to remember that other people involved in ophthalmology, they don't have that same duty. The company that makes the IOL and sells the IOL, they put the company first. They don't put the
Yes.
patient. But as a
Yes.
surgeon, you don't put yourself first. You put the patient first always.
We have always to be very, very clear with the patient. So when I have a complication, okay, I tell the patient, sorry, I'm sorry, but complication happens also to the best surgeon. But we will manage. So you have to keep with your patient to also to give him your faith in the also in the colleague, your faith also in your skills, and you have to manage the patient well. If you're very clear with the patient, also with the complication, the patient will love you.
All right.
Most of the bad things that sometimes happens in our world, like legal claim or other things, are born from a not very good collaboration with the patient, not very good interaction, no? And sometimes also by some very bad colleagues. But
Lucky, that's too
if
many of
you,
those.
yeah, but if you start to be very clear with the patients, most of your problems will solve.
Right. No, for sure. Now, what advice do you have for all the young Italian residents? They're doing the training now. They're worried that they're still not getting enough surgical volume. What advice do you have for them? Because you're 15, 20 years out of the training. Good
Yeah.
time to give them advice. What advice do you have for those doctors?
The advice is you decide your exposure to surgery, no? If you are lucky now, you are in a school that expose you to a very good number of cases, okay. Just keep in your school. But if you're not satisfied, we are in a global world. You can go everywhere. But I think actually India is actually also now is one of the best country in which you can have a very good exposure with a very good talented surgeon. And
Right.
you decide for yourself, no? Probably most of my colleagues during summer in Italy just go every day to the sea because just in front of me. I decided to become a better surgeon. So it was not a sacrifice. To me, I was very happy. I was very happy to do also five cases and in the evening watch at my video,
Right.
look at my errors, and try to do the best the next day. So if you have patience, you have a world at your in your hands. It's
Right.
so easy now to travel. It was not so easy 25 years ago to go alone in country like this. Now it's so easy.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I think
Yeah.
is very critical, very important, is if you're a young surgeon, you must video record every case you do and
I
study it.
also now I video record each of my surgeries
Yes.
because also now I'm a perfectionist like you. And what I can do better also in this beautiful surgery? Video
Yeah, it's so
recording and
important to
critic
keep
and
getting better, to
self-critic is
keep
good.
learning. And especially if you're a young surgeon. If you're a young surgeon and you come to the operating room without a USB memory drive, and I would ask them, are you gonna record the video? No, not this one. I said, are you crazy? You've done like 30 cataracts. You should be recording every case and then go home and study it every night.
Absolutely, absolutely. I still now I have my great HD in my home where I store all the surgeries, and still now I have the a lot of directories, very good cases in which I can probably can do better this, and sometimes I watch it. Also now I record everything, and especially for
Yeah.
the young surgeon. And if you cannot record your complication, please watch cataract course.
For sure. I mean, listen, watching other people operate, you can learn a lot. But the key is you have to be your own toughest critic. You have to be your own boss, watch your own videos and say, okay, you know what? That was pretty good, but I could do this step and this step and this step. I could do a better job next time. Let me try.
The surgery is makes you a better man, because in the surgery you cannot do fake. Okay,
Right.
you take the full responsibility. It's like a single man sport, no? In tennis, you cannot share
Yeah.
your lose with others. In soccer, probably, in baseball, in basketball, in surgery, and in tennis, you cannot you cannot hide yourself. So if you can do this, you will be a good surgeon. As I always tell to my residents, everybody could be a very good surgeon, no? Also, a monkey could be a very good
Yeah.
surgeon, because it's a repetitive way. But what make the difference is the mind. Because the very good surgeon is the surgeon who can manage well the complication, not the surgeon who do not have a complication. If you do not have a complication, you probably simply do not operate.
Right, you that's one of my jokes. I say, if you're a surgeon and you don't have any complications, either you don't do surgery or you're lying. Which one is it?
Absolutely. In the Congress, you will have a full room if you do a course like cataract complication, not a course of the beautiful way to do cataract surgery, no? This is the reason why Babosher, you, Agarwal family have always the full room in the best Congress, no?
Yeah.
In the world. But I do course like complication in refractive surgery. This is where the people go.
No, for sure. That's such great points. Do you think the meetings in person, they're important to connect with your friends and your colleagues for sure. But can't you learn all the same material now on your phone just by watching a video?
Absolutely. COVID,
Right?
the COVID teach us this, no? During the COVID, I usually do at least 35 congress, international congress in a day. During COVID, I cannot do this, but I do 50 congress online. So I think that the formula of the congress is very beautiful, because to get in real touch, no, as we did in Trieste.
Yes. Yeah.
But the teaching and all the things you can have simply online. Simple
Yeah.
line. You can review. You can see whatever you want in the night during the flight. So technology is beautiful now. You can also operate. No, I have now a system that do a direct broadcast. No, like Luke and Michel do. No, now, and we have the possibility to operate a line and to have the master Uday Devgan who teach me. Oh, Miguel, what are you doing? So, really?
Well, I try to have fun with those videos. So now, which video should we show for you tomorrow? So when we air your podcast, it'll be on a Sunday coming up.
Yeah.
And then on that Monday, I'll let you have, you can be the video of the day. Which video should we share of yours? You send me a bunch.
Oh, no. I sent a video without a femtosecond laser. Okay. A very hard cataract, but weak zonals, in which I decided to do the phaco on the bag, not into the bag, because the zonal was very, very weak. And I do this very hard cataract. And then I put a three-piece IOL with the optic capture. That is a very elegant technique in these cases. So I think that video will be very, very interesting.
I will feature.
It show how to manage an hard nucleus without putting, for example, a tension ring, and also to the importance to measure the three-piece yaw. The three-piece yaw managing is honestly one of the things that every cataract surgeon has to learn at the best level, because three-piece IOL is the best invention for a cataract surgeon, especially the preload. I cannot say the company, but having a preloaded 3PS IOL is a very rewarding, because in that moment you save one step. You know?
Right. No, for sure. I actually watched your video. I haven't, we're going to feature it in the future, but it was interesting because in that case, you tried to put a CTR at the beginning before phaco.
Yes.
But then you took it out. You said, you know, better to get the nucleus out of the bag and put it on top of the capsule.
Absolutely.
And then CTR at the end.
But if you see, I didn't finish to do the rings, just because I was feared that I can also break the capsule that way. Yep. Because the nucleus was very hard, and the capsule and the zonal was very, very was a very bad laxity. I was feared. So in that moment I tried to what I can do now. Okay, go out of the bag, work with a very good visco to preserve endothelium, and I reached the same result, with a beautiful result, with another approach. There's no only one approach. Depends.
I love it. I thought you did a beautiful job. And at the end, I think when you have a patient like yours, where all of the zonular support is weak, global zonular laxity, the way you did it is the best for long-term IOL stability, which is capsular tension ring, CTR in the bag, and then three-piece lens, haptics in the sulcus, and then optic capture behind the rectus. That gives great stability.
Yes, because it's the optic that supports the capsule and not the opposite.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you're listening to the podcast, his video will be featured the day after the podcast.
Thank you. But receiving a compliment for you to me is a double honor.
you're very sweet. Well, you know, we all learn from each other. What I really enjoyed about meeting you in Italy at the Congress was you have a passion for learning and you have a passion for teaching. You really fantastic.
Yes.
You're a fantastic teacher. You should be teaching more. We need to have Miguel's channel on YouTube.
No, I like it, but you know, as a mentor, being a mentoring and be a mentor is really what will last in the life, no?
Yeah.
My father was a very mentor for a lot of anesthesiologists in my city, and now that he's retired, people love it because he shared everything.
Yeah.
So to be a very great. To remain great in the mind of the people, you have to be a very mentor. You have to share everything. There are a lot of patients, no jealousy. But what is more rewarding to share a trick?
Of course. Well, listen, cataract coach, I teach all the tricks. I teach all the secrets. I don't hold anything back. Yes. I teach everything.
Yes. It's the best way to grow also as a community.
Right. For sure.
So thank you for what you did for a cataract surgeon, really.
Oh, you're too sweet. We all learn together. That's That's
In
really
some
good.
way, I consider myself a Zero's fellow, and now
Oh, thank
being
you.
me a mentor for the other, and also in some way for you for some things, is really rewarding to me.
Well, listen, as soon as we put this podcast up, I promise you, many, many Italian residents are going to be emailing you, asking you to come
Yeah, I know.
visit,
Well,
which will
thank
be
you,
great.
thank you.
I think that'll be great. I mean, that's how we do. You got to pass the knowledge on. That's certainly the way of doing it. Wow, that's fantastic.
See you soon in India.
Again, I thank you so much for doing this podcast. Can you imagine? We've been talking for 1 hour already.
Yes. Okay, just 1 hour.
Think
Okay,
of that, so fast. And I will definitely
time
see you.
flew.
I'll see you in July at the at Agarwal's meeting in Chennai. I'll be there for sure.
For sure, man. Thank you.
All right, Miguel. Thank you so much for doing this. I'll put your links below for your website and everything else. You can, and I'll show you your video tomorrow. And for our listeners and viewers, remember, we got a new Carrot Coach podcast every single Sunday. It's on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, anywhere you find a podcast, you find the Carrot Coach podcast. Plus, we also have every Sunday a Retina Rounds podcast. And of course, still every day, there's a new Cataract Coach video, more than 2,500 already. And there's a new Retina Rounds video every single day. So we can all learn together. So until next time, I'll catch you later.